scholar, but they're both assholes. One's a father, one's a scholar. One's a father, one's a scholar. One's a father, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. That's your brother's podcast coming every week. Sit down, kick back, and take a little peek into their lives. Their lives, their shitty little lies. Wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. Cooking Kyle Asher, sitting around gabbing, talking about nothing and what's going on in their lies, their shitty little lies. Wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. Sit down, get back, and take a little peek into their lies, their shitty little lies, yeah.
Welcome to Asher Brothers Podcast. My name is Kirk. Kyle is not currently here, but he will be in spirit in just a second, because this special Thanksgiving episode of Asher Brothers Podcast is, you guessed it, cobbled together with clips from NYPD Blue Balls. Why? Because sometimes when we're talking NYPD Blue, we don't stay on the topic of NYPD Blue, and it makes for interesting conversation. This is from the most recent NYPD Blue Balls episode, Season 4, Episode 1, Moby Greg. I basically lifted the entire back section of it, the ending, because we go from arguing about Simone and Russell's relationship in NYPD Blue to arguing about Jim and Pam's relationship from The Office, and I had to put it out somewhere because it's pretty funny, but I couldn't leave it in the Blue Balls episode because it's not really about NYPD Blue. Thank you for listening. If you are, if you've already turned it off, that's totally cool. I can say anything I want because you're not listening. But thanks for listening if you have. Thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls if you listen to that. Have a good Thanksgiving. May you have great turkey and stuffing. After that, there's a scene with Simone and Russell at their place where they just have another fight about the proposal.
Yeah.
Because she says something to the effect of, you're not supposed to make big life decisions after only a little while of being sober. And he's like, it's been 18 months.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, he does not give a fuck about the AA steps.
Well, when, because here's the deal. She says, you're not supposed to make big decisions when you're recently sober. And he's like, you've been sober for like a year and a half. And then she said, well, I thought about having a couple of drinks just thinking about this. And he's like, oh, well, I guess that's the trump card, which he has a point. Like, what is he supposed to say after that?
He's supposed to go, I respect it. I understand what you're going through, and mm-hmm. let's try to make it work.
No,
if he wants to marry this girl, he has to understand that she's an addict and that he needs to work with her on it.
I understand that this is going to make me sound weird and like a dick, but in the process of an argument, because it kind of went to an argument quick, when you say something like, well, I thought about having a drink just thinking about this, what you're basically saying is, my problems are bigger than your problems, so now you don't have an argument.
He is only thinking about he wants her to say yes. He's not thinking about anything else. That makes him a bigger dick than her.
I disagree. I disagree with you. It's fine.
That's fine. That's fine. But that, like, if she would have said yes, and then let's say like 3 days later she started drinking, and she was like, well, it's because I'm really nervous about this, this, and this, he would lose his mind. And he would, like, it would become an argument and become a thing. At least she's thinking it out and being thoughtful about the process.
See, I agree with you there, but that's the thing. That is the actual thing happening, which is because of his proposal, she started drinking. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about now in the process of an argument or discussion that's leading to an argument. He says, because he said something like, because he's on the phone with the lawyer, and he's like, apparently I have a building now. And she's like, wow. And he's like, I wouldn't get too excited. There's a note on it, which I guess is like refinancing or mortgage or whatever. And she's like, oh man, I thought you were rich. He's like, oh, would that bump me up?
Well, see, that right there, that's just as bad as her saying, thinking about this has made me want to drink a couple of times.
It's not as bad, because his was a sarcastic little jab.
No, and then, his was petty. His was petty as fuck.
This is like
he was petty as fuck. Wait till later, because there's also the times when I think, is this when they're sitting at home?
They have two different ones, this episode and the next episode, with basically the same happening.
Yeah, the next episode is when they're sitting at home. Yeah, the same thing. He's being petty as fuck. Like, he's being such a petty little bitch.
Okay.
He's being so petty.
See, fine. You're right. But I think what he did was he's like, okay, we haven't talked about it all day. Obviously, it's a big deal. I put myself out there, and you didn't even give me an answer. And then he's like, so where are we at now? Does that push me up in the list? She goes, well, no. I mean, I got to think about, I've been spending more time with this, so I shouldn't make it. She keeps making excuses for why she can't make the decision, yes or no. And then she brings out that big one, and he's like, oh, great. Well, now I can't even argue with you. Because if I do that, I'm a monster.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, he has to realize, yeah, he can't argue about it. This is a sensitive process that she needs to be at a certain spot before she can make such a big decision.
All I know is she has an opportunity.
And then I think at one part, in one of the arguments, he makes some, like, offhand comment about, like, her being supportive of her family. But he says it in a way that's, like, very douchey. Where he's like, well, you're over there taking care of your family, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, fuck you, dude. Yeah, my mom just killed my dad. Of course, I'm
she didn't just kill her dad. That was months and months ago.
Okay,
it didn't just that happen.
Go fuck yourself. You know how difficult. God, I hate you.
This is like.
You have a lot of experience in people killing other people and that, the trauma they have to deal with. Also, living in an abusive household where, like, he fucking beat on him and, like, was weird to Diane. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck you. Fuck you.
This is just like when we argued about Pam and Jim and their argument in the last season of The Office.
Pam was such an idiot.
No. That's incorrect. Yeah. Jim is the one at fault. Jim is the one at fault. He made the decision. He's not allowed to be angry with what happens because of his decision. He's not allowed to go,
He was never angry. Some goddamn support. Wanted some goddamn support. And look at the decision he made for his family. He was right.
No, he wasn't right.
She was small-minded.
Hold on, let me
go back to this argument. She was thinking small, and she never wanted to leave Scranton.
Nope.
She couldn't even finish a summer internship thing at Pratt, which is only like 4 months. Get the fuck out of here. She never completes anything she starts. Jim put aside everything for her. Jim let her do Pratt. Jim was like, go do it. I'll stay here. Jim was like, don't worry. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to buy you a house. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure that you live comfortably and don't have to worry about anything. And then the one time that motherfucker goes, you know what? I hate my job. I think I have an opportunity to do this, and it can help our family. And she tells tells Pam, and Pam's reaction is, no, I don't even want to talk about it. No, I don't like it because it might take me away from Scranton.
No.
Who gives a fuck about Scranton?
No, that's not what happened.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, that's not what happened. What he did was he made a decision that doesn't guarantee any income whatsoever to chase a dream he had that doesn't even involve his family. Then,
but he never.
Then,
no, no, no.
Then.
His family. No, no. Then. That's where you're wrong.
No, not wrong.
The dream involved his family because if he could make money off of it and it could become what it became when it became a huge thing that's so big they had to move to a different state to support it. That's a big fucking deal. That had to happen.
That happened after he left to go back with
him. I can't hear you. So they did that. But then the other thing is it did involve his family because he was thinking of his family. He was like, you know what? Working at this paper company, which for the last 3 seasons, all we've talked about is us getting fired and losing our jobs. I need a different type of income. And he worked both of them. It's not like he quit the paper one to fulfill this one with no income. He said, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep working this job so we get that income, and I'm going to work on this one on the other side.
Hey, do you remember that they had kids? Because apparently Jim didn't. Apparently Jim didn't remember that they had kids. Because then he
tried to do all the shit that he could, but accidents happen. Things happen.
Okay, and then after he promises he's going to be at this one recital and then can't because of work, and then he tells fucking Pam, okay, videotape it, and she fucks up the phone. Then he fucking goes off on her on the phone about it, and she's okay. Like, hey, hold on a minute. You said you were going to go and couldn't go, and then I messed up a thing. You still didn't do what you were going to do.
He shouldn't have got mad at her, but he lost a huge... Hold on, let me tell you. He shouldn't have got mad at her over it,
mm-hmm.
But here are two things that you're not paying attention to.
Here's where you defend his actions, because him more.
No. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have gotten mad at her over the video.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't have. That he should not have gotten mad at her over the video. Accidents happen. It's not like she meant to not fucking do it. He also should have been excited for her that she got that callback and was told that she was going to get the mural or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He should have cared about those two things. Yes. But what she didn't understand was that losing an investor is a huge deal, especially for a company that's trying to get off the ground. She didn't give a fuck about that.
Yeah,
cared about is that he didn't make it to some fucking dance recital. Mm. No offense, how many more dance recitals is this bitch going to have? Let's be real.
Okay.
Second of all, he asked her, hey, do you know how to work the camera? And she said yes.
That's the problem. That's right.
She said yes, and then she fucked it up. That's on her. But he shouldn't have gotten mad at her because it was an accident, and yes, he missed it. But one, he was frustrated. Two, she was frustrated. She had every right to get mad at him for the way he reacted. She had every right to be like, you're being a dick. But you know what she didn't have the right to? Run to the fucking sound boomer's arms. She did not have that goddamn fucking right to do.
Okay.
So get the fuck out of
First off, we have to remember that this is being... Because there's a big theory out there that Jim actually did cheat on Pam, but the people running the documentary covered it up to make Jim look like a better person.
Yeah. Okay, there's also a theory that we didn't land on the moon. Show me some goddamn evidence. God damn, there's also a theory that 9/11 was an inside job. Show me some evidence.
Okay.
Like, what the fuck, dude? There's also a theory on Breaking Bad that, like, Jesse could be Walt's kid, illegitimate kid. I just made that up. It's a fucking TV show. What are we talking about?
You're the one getting upset about this argument this badly. Because all I'm telling
I'm just saying, Pam is unsupportive. Jim
Pam is 100% supportive.
No, she is not.
You are out of your mind.
Jim is nothing but supportive. When she's fucking Roy, Jim is her emotional support.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been.
He's been doing it since day one.
He shouldn't have been. He should have been smarter than that. But
he's been her support on everything since day one. He supported her stupid dream of art school, which she never was going to be good. Like, Dwight points it out, she's not a good artist. Like, why does the building have two different shadows? Are there two suns? He supports her going to fucking Pratt. He supports her when she doesn't want to work in the beginning and have kids. He does everything for this bitch, and then the one thing that he wants to do, she's like, no, I don't even want to discuss it, I don't want to talk about it, I don't even want to give you 4 months to try it out and see if it'll work, I'm just going to say no.
No.
Hey, don't
no,
worry,
no.
You gave me 4 months at Pratt, and I failed. I didn't even pass it.
That's also not what happened.
He even said, okay, well, you can't come back unless you finish it right. And she still came back anyways because she knew she wasn't going to finish it right. He has done nothing but show you he can finish things he starts. He buys a house. He chased after a girl and finally got her because he knew he was in love with her. He supported her with her kids. Like, get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Dude, Jim started that job without even consulting her. It's not about support. It's about he made a decision that affects the day-to-day lives of his entire family and didn't even tell her. And then, when he starts doing it, and shit gets hard, he has the fucking audacity to take it out on her when it's not her fault. It's his. He made the decision. You can't be, you can't say, oh wow, he's not supportive. It's like, fuck your support. You're in Philadelphia. She's at home with two fucking kids that you left there to go pursue this fucking sports dream you have. That, guess what? It isn't even possible while you're there. It's possible after you left. That's no, when no, it got no, super. No. That's when it got super big. Is after you fucking left.
No.
Yes, 100. That's what happened. And then he goes back to it when there's an opening and an opportunity.
Nope.
Whatever.
I don't. No. He 100% is supporting her all the time. So if this is the one time that he wants to do something, she needs to go, okay, I support you, let's give it a shot.
Even when
she
they have two young kids.
Give it a shot.
Even when they have two young kids.
Give it a shot.
Two young children.
And this is how dumb she is and doesn't pay attention to it. She was able, he secretly worked for it while still working at Dunder Mifflin, and she didn't know the difference. So that right there should have proved it would have been okay.
How is that, how is that good that he's that good at deceit? How is that a good thing? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, he lies great.
That's a good thing. What I'm saying is that she, right then and there, she should have been like, okay, so you were doing it while we were together, and you still were able to do it. All right, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I could give you a shot to try this, and we can make it work. But she has to be open to it. She wasn't even fucking open to it. That's what sucked.
I mean, I disagree with you. I disagree. It doesn't make...
Whatever.
And she didn't even... She didn't cheat on the on Jim with the boom guy. She just started talking to the boom guy when the boom guy was being nice.
No, the boom guy was trying to get into, was trying to boom her. He was trying to boom, he was trying to set her up, play with her microphone.
Anyway, NYPD Blue, the episode ends. The episode ends.
I have to leave soon for work, so let's wrap this up.
The episode ends with Andy's watching over the baby, and Sylvia comes in behind him and talks to him. And then she asks the question, do you remember making love?
You're probably the person who thinks Andy's super supportive and Sylvia doesn't support anybody.
No,
Sylvia's
that's not
just
what's happening.
Because she wants to work, and then she doesn't want to work, and then she wants to go back to work, and then she doesn't want to work. She wants to be with Theo. She doesn't want to be with Theo. But, you know, Andy's the cool guy. Even though he ran out for like a month to get drunk the whole time. Yeah, but his son died. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
This is a different... This is a completely different situation.
Get the fuck out. Dave Coulier style. Cut it out.
Jesus. Andy is looking over the baby and then goes over what happened that day. And Sylvia comes up behind him and he like lets her know, like, I froze. I was worried about dying, but now I'm gonna lose some weight. I'm gonna be better. And then she goes, remember making love, and takes off her. I don't know if you noticed this. The way she was sitting was like the most uncomfortable.
Wasn't it fucking weird? Wasn't it weird as fuck?
It was. Like... It was so they could cover up her boobs, but still show.
At the same time, shows a little bit of ass.
So it's impossible to describe. You have to get Hulu or Amazon and watch the end scene of Moby Greg to understand what I'm saying. But she's sitting in the most uncomfortable way possible so she could be naked, hugging Andy Sipowicz to cover up her breasts, and then a small bit of blanket covers up the bottom half of her ass, so you see ass... But no asshole or the bottom half of the crack. It's the most insane staging of a human body I've ever seen. So they could show nudity, but not really.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird.
And Sipowicz says, well, don't you think he'll wake up? And she says, well, don't beat your chest and do your jungle yell. Which made me wonder, does Andy do that every time he comes?
Yeah.
Like... Is Andy Sipowicz's thing, like, after I get done with a lady, I gotta do a Tarzan? Or a George of the Jungle?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
Anything on this episode before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think we learned that you're gonna be a horror horrible partner to somebody.
No, I disagree with you. I'm going to be a great partner because I'm going to be nothing like Jim from The Office.
Oh, okay. Jim basically saved Pam from fucking living with Roy the rest of her life and being left at hockey games. Get the fuck out of here. And then there's that one episode where she's like, oh yeah, we got left at a hockey game. And then Jim's like, well, at least I didn't leave you at a hockey game. And she's like, fuck you, asshole. How could you bring that up? It's like, you're still dating the dude that left you at a hockey game. Fuck you.
Just to let you know, Kyle, I'm going to be cutting that out to make it a separate Asher Brothers podcast.
But that's fine. Let's have a quick 30-minute office discussion. Let's do it.
Hold on. Let me finish up this episode.
Biggest whore in the office, Angela, hands down.
Oh, hands down. That. Way more than Meredith.
Yeah. But Meredith didn't present herself as a Christian-loving weirdo.
It's true. It's very true. Angela is the worst human being on that show. She's even worse than Creed, and I'm pretty sure he murdered a man.
And how did Andy not get fired? Like, the motherfucker left for the Bahamas and didn't tell anybody.
Because
how did he not get fired?
Because he was working on The Hangover, you know. Alright. One thing we didn't mention in the episode, at one point James sees Gina again on the steps.
Yeah.
And he goes out of his way to mention that Jerry, his PAA, is heavy set.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Why did he do that?
Like, why? And it's like, it's like, James, this isn't season one. Like, you're fat now. Like, in season one, you were, like, flying, you were climbing fences and shit, and now you don't. You're a fat motherfucker. Like, that's okay, but, like, come on. Like, so unbelievable.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com or where you find a podcast. You can find us on Twitter, AsherBrosPod, Instagram, AsherBrothersPodcast. You can talk to us about the episodes that are coming up, and we'll mention them in the episode or at the end of the episode. Watch more NYPD Blue. It's on Hulu and it's on Amazon. That's two different places you can get it and watch every single episode of the best show.
Two different places.
Two different ones. Amazon got rid of it, and then Hulu put it up, and then they put it up real quick. So I think they realized what they were doing once they had competition.
There's really no need to have Amazon Prime anymore.
you don't think...
I mean, they do put out some movies every now and then that are, like, cool to watch, but it's also like, ah, at some point Netflix or Hulu will do it. I can wait. The only reason I used Amazon Prime was for NYPD Blue, and then when they got all high and mighty and took it off, I was like, well, fuck it. There's no need for me to use this anymore.
I'm thinking about watching the Jack Ryan series just because John Krasinski is pretty badass looking in it. But again, I didn't want to watch that 13 hours movie. So I think it would be pretty sweet. Anyway, NYPD Blue Balls, have a good one. Listen to or watch more NYPD Blue. One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, and they're both assholes. Asher Brothers Podcast coming every week. Sit down, kick back, and take a little peek into their lives, their shitty little lives. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. Kirk and Kyle Asher sitting around gabbing, talking about nothing and what's going on in their lives, their shitty little lives. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar. It's the Asher Brothers Podcast.
And I went to work and I had on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt.
Are you naked?
Yeah, sorry. You fucking... I changed. A pair of shorts and a t-shirt. And then as I was getting dressed, as I left outside, I started walking, and all of a sudden, boom, thunderstorm, and I got drenched, just drenched in everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wasn't expecting to see your dick in the middle of this story. Apologies. You're telling a pretty, like... pretty chill story about when you walked out in the wrong gear and you're just standing there in a Superman pose with your dick out.
And then I walked out and you saw my gear. How about that?
Jesus Christ.
My bad.
Yeah, you're bad quite a bit.
Hey. Oops.
Because
I'm
not paying attention to the video as you're telling the story, and then I look up and I see your thigh tattoo, and I was like, is he not wearing underwear? And next to it is your dick. So I'm glad you're having a great time
there. I thought you don't pay attention to the little window, so I thought I had a chance to change real quick.
You do know that the little window in your screen represents the big window in mine.
Damn, so my dick probably looked huge to you.
No, it looked very small, but...
to each their own.
To each their own. Oh my God.
Size is relative.
Oh my God, that's insane. Okay.
But anyways, yeah, dude, I got caught 3 times this week in the rain, in shorts and a t-shirt, just demolished.
Well, then you'll look...
It's fucking ridiculous, dude. It was like that scene in The Notebook where they're fucking on the boat, and then it just starts pouring and shit. Minus all the love shit, but like that's what it was like.
I mean, then you'll just look like how you do when you go take a shit.
Oh my God! Yesterday, me and Maria. So I saw 2 movies yesterday that you should see.
Eighth grade
and Blindspotting.
Uh-huh. I've heard of
Blindspotting. Blindspotting's not as good as Eighth Grade, but it's super interesting, and it, like, raises a lot of questions, but it was good. But after that, we were walking home, and we were like, oh, let's get some dinner. Like, we'll complete this date day or whatever. And so we go to get some dinner, and I really had the shit.
Uh-huh.
And so we go to this place, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll just eat here. I'll take a quick shit, and then we'll just keep eating. So I go into the bathroom, and the bathroom is about as big as a closet. And I kid you not, Kirk, it was like the ceilings were dripping because of how fucking humid it was. And I walked in, and I just turned right around, and I came out, and Maria was like, that fast? And I was like, no, nothing happened. And she was like, why not? And I'm like, wait till you have to go pee. That bathroom is a fucking, like... Just heat. It was just humid. It was disgusting. So I just waited until I came home to shit.
Oh, man.
Anyways, moving on. Next episode.
Did you not put on clothes?
No, I did. I just don't have a shirt on.
Okay.
Don't worry. You won't see my dick again.
I thought you wouldn't see it in this small window. Moron.